670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
It's time for the Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
Looking, shoots it for the end zone. Intercepted A.J. Terrell.
All the highlights and interviews you need from the Dirty Birds.
Fighting all the way through, finding a way to get that win is absolutely outstanding. What we love to do.
The best the Falcons have to offer right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You shall not pass.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, hope you're having a great day. We certainly are. It's going to be a great week. Falcons, Vikings, Sunday night right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Today's an off day, but it's not an off day at the branch when you talk about kicking. And as I said today on social media, and we invite you to follow us at Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up, see Dukes, and follow this radio station at 92.9 The Game and this radio show at Dukes and Bell 92.9. Y'all don't understand. I want a full roster of kickers and options at Flowery Branch. We can have a hunger style, a Hunger Game style competition, and let's figure this out. Because, Mike, they sign a kicker today, which is where we start. But, guys, it doesn't necessarily mean, and I want to be clear about this, that that doesn't mean that Koo's not kicking Sunday night. The new guy is on the practice squad. But, Mike, do you feel like this is going to be a real competition?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a guy who's played and started in the NFL, which is different than what we got with Lenny Krieg, who's, you know, sort of a novelty act. And I said that with all due respect. It was more of a public relations thing because it's the international, you know, hoopla about, you know, bringing players over and developing, which, again, if he was real competition, he'd be battling right now for this job. They wouldn't have to call a young man who grew up in PTC, Parker Romo, who was 11 of 12 on field goals last season for the Vikings.
That's right.
So he does have professional experience. As Mark Grimondi points, that doesn't mean that Koo's lost his job, but they brought him in to at least light a fire.
Well, I hope it does, but I don't know if we're too late. I don't know if we're past that already.
Meaning, the summer was the time.
Correct. Meaning now we're in season. The games count. And you are going to rely on a guy that, frankly, right now I just don't trust. That's where I'm at. You may feel differently. But the fact that they've addressed it and we're going to attempt to at least put some more pressure on him and maybe have a guy in the building, Mike, if you need him and so be it, you got to go to him, you can do that. But there are other guys that are out there, and I know 49er fans are like, Dukes, you do not want this guy. You do not want Moody.
Right.
You don't want those issues. Bottom line, guys, for me is sometimes people need a change of scenery. We've seen this time and time with kickers, Mike, and I'm not making excuses, but sometimes guys get in a situation, things are going south, they change teams, they change scenery, and things get better for them. So
right.
It just depends.
Matt Prater, back in the day, you know, he struggled here in Atlanta. It's funny because you said it. Sometimes guys it's like golfers with the yips and missing those 5-foot putts. He was with us in 07. Remember that day, that was you had to bring in Morton Anderson for like short distance kicks? I mean, that's how crazy it got. Mort was like 45. The joke was, you know, what about kickoffs? I just run off the field. I'm not kidding. Are you kidding? But and then eventually he was with the Dolphins, and then he went to the Broncos, and he went back to being a Pro Bowler. And he was hitting like 62-yard kicks and such. So Prater's a guy that hit the game winner for the Bills. They just signed him on Friday because they lost their kicker. Bass went out with an injury. Moody, you just mentioned, kicker for the 49ers, just got cut. Missing, you know, easy. I mean, we're talking chip shots. So they nearly lost that game to Seattle. They weren't messing around.
No, and they feel like, and this is how we should feel. This is why this is a little bit frustrating. We'll be at Flyer Branch tomorrow talking with Raheem Morris, and certainly our player guest, Divine Diablo, is going to join the show tomorrow. He had a really good week one. I know many of you may not be as familiar with him. He spent the last, you know, 3 or 4 years or whatever with the Raiders. Guy played great. He was all over the field. But, Mike, the thing is, you cannot go into these games knowing these one-possession games are going to be a part of your season,
right.
These one-score games, and not trust your kicker. So it's something that's got to get resolved. Now, what about the health of our team? Because we talked with Dave Archer, analyst for Atlanta Falcons, earlier in the show. It's online at odyssey.com. He said something very interesting, didn't he?
Yeah, we were asking him about, you know, what's up with our wide receivers. And I said, you know, because without Mooney, maybe Mooney goes, maybe he doesn't. Drake, you know, comes out of a game and he's tough as nails, man. We talked about his dedication. Arch is of the opinion, this is just his, because the first injury announcement will be tomorrow. That's the first report that comes out. And then later in the week, Dave Archer is of the opinion, these guys are both going to play. He said he'd be very shocked if they're not out there.
Well,
and that's something.
That is something. Because
changes, to your point, changes a lot about how you feel about this game.
Well, here's the deal. I don't even know if they'll reveal what happened exactly with Drake because it hasn't been. All we know is he got injured. He left the game. Maybe it was nothing. When I say nothing, not to the degree that's going to keep him out of multiple games or multiple weeks. But either way, Darnell Mooney, man, he's on the mend, and we've been saying, we need him back, we need him back, we need him back. They toyed with us last week because they kept saying, well, he'll be available. And I said to you, available doesn't mean he plays. And then ultimately Sunday hit, and boom, he was not playing. But if they have Drake and Darnell Mooney back, Mike, we're going to open up this offense and allow Michael Penix to do Michael Penix things. This is what makes this offense go. You cannot do that, no disrespect, to the other guys that are out there filling the void. You're just not as familiar. He's not as familiar. And I don't know if the trust level is there. So we need those guys against this very good Vikings defense we're going to see on Sunday.
You know, we talked to Arch, and I said, Arch, we got, you know, with these new pieces. We're all excited about James Pierce Jr., getting Jalen Walker out there, Leonard Floyd. And two of those three didn't even show up on the stat sheet. I mean, nothing. You know what I mean? We did get some touch. There were some touches and a couple of tackles for Jalen Walker. I read something D-Led posted from some fantasy football nerd or his PFF nerd.
Nerd!
James Pierce Jr. had a higher win percentage than Mike Green, Abdul Carter, and Mikel Williams.
Yes, and I posted that last night, too.
What does that mean?
You know what? That's a good question. Because here's the deal. For football savants and people who are into the only the metrics of how a guy plays his position.
Like Chris Collinsworth.
You look at this and you go, well, his win rate, meaning he was beating his guy, but more importantly, he was in position to make plays, and he did that better than the other guys you named. All right? The other side of that, though, Mike, is you could easily say, hey, he had no impact at all. What you're saying in that metric, okay, right, and whether you buy it, I'm not talking about you, but just anybody, right, is that he was actually doing things in the game that allowed him to be in position to make plays. You got to rely on your teammates, but can you do the job? And so what he's saying and what the numbers are saying is when you look at his rate, his win rate, he was in position a lot. The tackles don't show that and the sacks don't show that. The problem with the average fan, the folks that are listening to us right now, whether you're in your car, smart speaker, right, or however you're accessing the show, you're going Dukes and Bell. We only got one sack, and it was none of our edge guys.
Right.
How can I say that he had a high win rate? That's the problem with this stuff, and this is the new age of football, just like the new age of baseball, with velocity rate and all this stuff, right, that we talk about. These are the things that a lot of teams look at and go, man, our guy's winning, but is he finishing?
And that's what I was asking Arch, and Dave explained it quite well, that look, everything Carl just talked about, these guys affected Baker Mayfield, but unfortunately when the game was on the line, he went right down the field on us. We didn't affect the quarterback when the game was on the line. We did keep them way below their offensive norm output. Certainly less points and less yards than what they did against us in the two games we won last year. And I respect and I understand where Arch is coming from. But at the end of the day,
so let me ask you,
this is the same Smitty argument. Like, sacks don't matter. I mean, if you get Baker Mayfield on the ground in the final minute of the game, maybe we have another, you know what happened. They went down there. Kuhn missed a field goal, but they took the lead. That's the problem. We didn't do the job when it mattered.
What was the big argument you got into with baseball fans this year? What was the
about exit velocity? I don't give a crap about exit velocity. If a home run is 112 miles an hour, 99 miles an hour, is it clear the fence?
Okay. And the argument for you was, whether you believe in all this stuff or not, right, I watch a guy and I can see he can play and he can hit. Right. Right?
I think they're trying to squeeze the square peg in the round hole with this football analytics. Baseball, because the sample size in baseball, Carl, is so much larger with 162 games and 500 at bats. I don't think you can apply it to the NFL, especially not knowing it was in a double team. What were you asked to do on the specific play for an edge rusher?
Well, and that's part of this, but they're keeping track of all of those things now. The things that we used to not keep track of, they are keeping track of all of those things. The play call, the double team, the responsibility. And then you put it into the damn computer, and we know this. AI now spits it out and goes, oh, he had a win rate of 680 million.
Right.
And you kind of go, well, what does that mean? I only bring that up, Mike, to say this is a route that we're going. When I have this conversation all the time. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We talk about quarterback rating, right? Like, for example, our guy, Michael Penix, had, I think, a 91 or 94 quarterback rating on Sunday. And it's really good.
But what does that mean, right? When you say, okay, well,
670 The Score's Mullin Haugh is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haugh Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
So Wilson had a 50-something quarterback rating for the Giants. And you start looking at the metrics of what makes that up. Bottom line is, if you watch the game, you saw Penix play really well, and Russell Wilson sucked. He didn't play well. That's the metric, right, for most fans. I saw a guy complete passes and not give it to the other team, and I saw another guy who didn't do that.
670 The Score's Mullin Haugh is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haugh Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.